Well, I hope you had a wonderful holiday celebration with your friends and family and with communities in your towns and villages. Excuse me. We have so much to be thankful for and so much to celebrate as Americans or as people who live in countries that experience freedom like we do. We have freedom to be grateful for. We have safety to be grateful for. We have people to thank for our safety, for those who serve locally with our police and our firefighters, etc. We think about our service people as they provide safety. But we also know that at the same time, while most of us here today experience those freedoms, not everyone in America experiences those freedoms quite in the same way. And not everyone also around the world experiences either in that same way. And additionally, there are people that don't experience the same level of prosperity or wealth that many of us do. That is something that we, as the people who are here today, can know and claim, that even if you are feeling financial struggles, there are ways in which we are better off than we could ever imagine by comparison to people near and far around the world. But whether you're in one of those situations or whether you find yourselves with lots to celebrate this week or in the weeks to come, it's also true that there are some conflicting feelings about where we are in our nation's history. There are some conflicting feelings always about where we are in our nation's history. But there are some ways in which the U.S. has experienced some changes over the last 10, 15, 20 years, and it's not just over the last few years, that has shifted the way that we experience each other as Americans. There are ways in which we experience others in a different way as fellow citizens of the same nation, and it has shifted in ways in which we have come to understand ourselves as well. And so as people, and as Americans in particular, but as people at large, we have never been so anxious, we have never been so stressed, and we have never been so divided or fractured as a people. So whether you're feeling that as a sense of where we are in our national history, or you're feeling that on a personal level because you're going through a moment of stress or anxiety or concern or division in your family or fracture, whatever it might be, we have never been in a place as people where we have had more stress, more anxiety, and more divisions. And in our country, divisions as well and fracturing. Recently, and a few years ago, I asked some of my ministerial colleagues if they had ever been through a season of American leadership in their churches or the country, if they've ever could remember a time where we had been so fractured or so divided for such a protracted period of time. And while they could think about times in which there were similar moments of protracted divisions and fracturing, they couldn't come up with a single time that had been so continuously anxious and so continuously stressful for our country. And what happens for all of us is that when we are feeling that stress and that anxiety, whether it's a personal or a community feel, we bring that into our relationships with one another. We bring that to bear, and we don't always bring to bear our best selves in those moments. And when we feel that stress and when we feel that anxiety, or when those divisions feel bigger than they really are, or maybe we don't see them for what they really are, we don't remember how to relate to each other in a way that helps us to be the people that God is calling us to be. We can't relate in such a way that we can actually be the kind of nation that God wants us to be. Or as we might put it in our language for today, how can we truly be one nation under God? Emphasis on the under God part. Because our faith is supposed to inform every aspect of our life, and our faith is supposed to inform the way that we relate to each other and the way we relate to each other as citizens of this country. Now, for those of you that think I'm about to jump into some political discourse, I can assure you I'm not. You can relax that anxiety or stress for just a moment. Because what I want to highlight for us this morning is that there are ways in which God is calling us to relate to one another in this moment that we find ourselves in that can help us to have the best relationships that we can with one another. There are things that the Apostle Paul describes in the experience of the church that he wrote to in Philippians and that he wrote to elsewhere that can help us understand the ways in which there are divisions that God wants us to understand, but then to get past as we relate to one another. This could be considered something very important for all of us, but this is especially true for Park Ridge Presbyterian, because if you haven't noticed or you might not be totally aware, we are something that you might describe as a purple church. Now, from my youth ministry days, a purple thing was not a good thing. When you're a youth group leader, you're worried about purple because boys are blue and girls are pink, and what happens when they mix? Purple. Okay, so all of you need to go back to primary school and get your color wheel back out. No, we're going to go over that, not again, but you can process that one. But we are, in fact, a purple church. Now, that doesn't mean that we are some kind of designation of any formal sort, but what it does mean is that we have a lot of red and a lot of blue political leanings in our church. And what that ends up happening is when you mix those together, we become a purple church. Now, when you have a sense of this, you can understand how important it is for us to review and to refresh what it means to relate to one another in these anxious and stressful and divided times. Now, you might be wondering, Josh, how do you know that we're a purple church? How is it possible that you could make that assumption or that observation? Well, I'm Facebook friends with a lot of you. I follow your Twitter feeds. You have followed me on these things as well. It's a mutual arrangement. Your Instagram posts tell me quite a bit. You tell me quite a bit about your political leanings. I try not to tell you so much about mine, although some of you have figured some of them out, but that's just because we're people and we talk. But the reality is, you tell me about yours, and then you know what? You also do this interesting thing. You tell me about other people's political views too. I know it's a human thing that we kind of know each other's business, but we also share each other's business. And when you put it all together, I can assure you, just whatever channel you watch on TV or you don't watch on TV, or if you know what they are out there, there's somebody in our congregation that is a devotee to the channel you watch and the channel you don't watch. There's everyone in our congregation is watching one of those channels and not the others. And what that gives to us is actually a beautiful opportunity as a group of people. Because one of the things that is happening in our society, as you know, is the further we become divided as people and the further we get fractured, the harder time we have hearing each other. The harder a time we have finding ourselves hearing other points of view than our own. Sometimes this is observed as the echo chamber phenomenon, and sometimes this is also understood as what happens in our world today, that we find ourselves getting into smaller and smaller groups that reinforce for ourselves what we already want to hear. And the church, the local congregation, is one of the few places and one of the few groups of people in our country today where people of all walks of life and all political persuasions come together to be a part of a group for a different reason and a different purpose. And when we value that, when we have an opportunity to see what that brings to our lives, we have a chance to share in life together with people who have different views than us. And in a time when we need to hear others' views more than ever, we can use our relationships at the church as a place to see the other, to see how they see the world and how they might see the world in a way it needs to become. And you might learn from them, and they can learn from you. You might see it differently, how the world needs to become. And when we value this together, we have a chance to celebrate what God wants for us in all of this. It also is something that I want to highlight for us as this congregation in particular, how important this is, because Park Ridge Presbyterian Church is a wonderful congregation, and it's finding ourselves in a new place anymore. To a different time and a different environment. Throughout most of our history, we might have understood ourselves as Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, a church that is of Park Ridge, and mostly Park Ridge, or exclusively Park Ridge at times. But over the last 10, 15, 20 years, the congregation has shifted and changed quite a bit as well. So maybe you remember a time when Park Ridge Presbyterian was mostly people who lived in Park Ridge. And that would sense give you a sense that, well, maybe we're mostly Republicans because Park Ridge is mostly a Republican community. Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, friends, we are not only of Park Ridge anymore. A little bit around half of our membership lives in Park Ridge, but over half lives elsewhere. And what that means is that while we live and find ourselves here as a congregation on Sunday mornings, we are living and working in a diversity of places and a diversity of people. Now, for those of you who live in Park Ridge, the Park Ridge community itself is becoming more diverse in some ways over the last few years. But if you live outside of Park Ridge, as my family and I do, I can assure you that it is more diverse than you might imagine. I grew up in this part of the Chicago area, and I remember growing up in Prospect Heights in particular, that's where it was, and not sensing much diversity. When I take my kids to the park, or when my wife takes them to the park, we might be the only family there on a given day where English is the primary language of our home. We hear a variety of languages and hear a different amount of story through those about who is around us. And what that draws for us is importance to understand who is in our world. There is a diversity amongst us that is what is here and what is now and what is the future. That is something that as we find ourselves moving into this future, we can celebrate and embrace. Because that's what is true about God's love, is that God's love is there for all people. God's love is there for all people, no matter where they're from or where they're going. And that's what we want to be, is people who are bringing God's love into all moments of our lives. Because as followers of Jesus, our faith is meant to impact and inform every aspect of our lives. So how do we do this? How do we find ourselves moving into times and places where we might find ourselves experiencing a greater sense of how God wants us to live and to find ourselves in relating with one another? Now, we actually did a little deep dive on this back in the fall. And if you remember, if you were here or want to check it out again, we did a conversation, a three-week message series about coming to the table. We called it At the Table. And to help us refresh ourselves on what it means to get ready for the table, to stay at the table, or come back to the table, I want to encourage you to go to our website, and you go right to parkridgepresby.org/at-the-table, and you'll find all three of those messages. And if you go there, you'll hear a message, three messages, that'll help us understand what it means to come to the table when we expect to have differences amongst us. Now, that's just one way in which we can refresh ourselves. But another way, especially as we enter into this presidential election cycle, for instance, we want to remind ourselves of the words of Scripture as we go into these conversations, when we go into our relationships. Because Paul, who wrote to us so much of the Scriptures, so much of the New Testament, he was writing to groups of people who were fractured. He was writing to groups of people who were confused. He was writing to groups of people who were encountering a level of diversity that they had never experienced before. And because they had come together in the name of Christ, they had something in common that was calling them together, that was allowing them to experience the beautiful thing that is the diversity of people. And when we can engage that with each other, we are better for it. The Apostle Paul, as we heard in the book of 1 Corinthians, writing to the church in Corinth, and then also to the church in Philippi, had a great concern of how they were relating to each other in these kinds of moments. Paul lifts up a variety of ways in which we can relate to each other, but one of the ways that we could think about, if you put it all together, one of the ways to think about it and remember the ways in which Paul was encouraging us to relate to another would be the following: to be caring, to be careful, and to be considerate. To be caring, to be careful, and to be considerate. This doesn't exhaust Paul's words, but it can help us to remember God's words through Paul. So what does it mean to be caring in a moment like we find ourselves in with the stress and the anxiety? Well, to be caring, first and foremost, begins with putting the needs of the other person ahead of your own. When we find ourselves in a relationship with one another, there's a tendency, because of our fallenness, because of the sin in our lives, to either intentionally or unintentionally put our needs ahead of the person who is with us. But if we can be more caring and more caring to put their needs in front of ours, we'll find ourselves putting them first. And when we do that, we can be more caring. Now, you might have differences that you need to examine between you and the person you're relating with, but one of the things that can happen is if you put their needs before your own, it's also possible that we'll become less boastful. We'll be less rude, we'll be less arrogant, because if you put their needs first, the things that typically bring on rudeness and arrogance and boastfulness are when you put your agenda ahead of theirs. This isn't a sense of a political agenda, this is about what they need in their lives. So if we can be more caring in our relationships, we can further experience what God has for us. We also, in these times, need to be more careful, of course. We need to be more careful as we think about the ways in which God calls us to relate to one another. Specifically, we got to be more careful with our intentions. We got to be more careful as we go into the relationships and into the conversation. Now, the intentions are a funny thing, and if we can be more careful with our intentions, we'll do better off. Because what do we do with intentions? We judge people based on intentions. Now, we do this funny thing, right? We judge others based on their actions, but we judge ourselves based on our intentions. Have you ever done this? I know I have. I have found myself intending to do something and not quite getting there. And I say to myself, boy, Josh, you had all sorts of good reasons to not get to that. You had all sorts of good reasons to not get to do that thing or to believe that thing or to stop that thing. But when someone else tells me I intended to do something, what do? Well, you should have done it. Because I judge them based on their actions and judge myself based on my intentions. Now, sometimes we get to our actions as well, and we can go, whoops, maybe I shouldn't have been there either or done that thing. But the reality is, if we can be more careful with our intentions, both of ourselves and how we evaluate and live and with and work with others and their intentions, we won't set ourselves up to experience such a division amongst ourselves. And the last thing that we can hear in those words of Paul is we can be more considerate of one another. Paul reminds us here and elsewhere in Scripture to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Now, on a very practical level, I want to speak to us as individuals for just a moment. I want to remind ourselves that while we are part of a political system and part of a political nation, we are individual members that are going to be in relationship with one another for a lot longer than any one political moment or any one news cycle is going to find ourselves in. So if we can remember to do nothing out of vain ambition or selfish conceit, it will help us to stay in relationship with one another so that we can be more considerate of each other time in and time again. It's really easy to get ahead of ourselves. It is really easy to get ahead of ourselves in a way that can leave other people behind us because we put ambition and conceit ahead of ourselves. And when we let ambition and conceit lead us, we miss what God wants for us. Now, if we can be more caring, and if we can be more careful, and if we can be more considerate, then we will be more like Christ. And if we can be more like Christ in all moments of our lives, then we will bring beautiful love into all of our relationships. If we can be more caring, if we can be more careful, and if we can be more considerate, then we will help our nation to be a nation under God. And as we do that, we will help the world experience God's love as well. So let us remember the beautiful diversity that God has blessed us with. And let us remember how to celebrate that diversity. Let us remember how to be people of love in all that we do, so that we can indeed be people under God, now and always.